my mic up.
Ready on the right.
Hey, yo, calm down, nigga.
Ready on the left.
Hey, yo, calm down, nigga.
Ready on the right.
Hey, yo, calm down, nigga.
Ready on the left.
Fuck.
All right, what's up, everybody? How are you? Welcome to another exciting episode of Twisted. I'm Sam Tripoli, back in the All Things Studios, All Things Comedy Studios. Life is good. Happy to be here. Got a lot of great stuff going on. Running the board is Aaron. Aaron, always a pleasure. Sorry I blasted you on your phone. We had one of the, what's his name, Farley Brothers was in here with a bunch of chicks, just trying to make him laugh, trying to get the puss wet, trying to get a little love, get his dick wet. And I respect that, and I felt really bad that I had to kick him out, because he probably had them all stacked and just playing Price is Right Punch Out on their fucking snatch holes. Well, I don't know if I'm going to have as much fun as they sound like they were having a great time, so I hope I didn't ruined the party here, but we got some exciting news. We have a new sponsor for the All Things Comedy podcast, and I guess Twisted with Sam Tripoli, how do you pronounce it? Sattva. Very excited to have Sattva on. Sattva is the only online luxury mattress brand that designs, manufactures, and installs across America. Their Innerspring's Euro top model is the highest rated mattress on Google and Forbes top 100 company to watch in 2015. Since they have no physical retail stores, they are able to offer our premium mattresses at a fraction of the prices without any of the industry makeup. Sattva is launching a brand new Loom and Leaf right now at South by Southwest. They're partnering up with A&E and the hit show Bates Motel, which totally makes sense. There's a lot of mattresses in that show. A&E's Bates Motel is actually open for business. You can stop by and enter your name for a chance to stay the night at the Bates Motel during South by Southwest for a chance to win a Loom and Leaf mattress. Do I gotta read all this? Okay. Loom and Leaf is the perfect premium memory foam mattress made from the highest quality plant-based foam source in the U.S. There is a high standard of eco responsibility. It is cooling gel that is designed to expel heat, and they cover a plush organic cotton. Combined with a plant-based foam, the Loom and Leaf is the healthier memory foam mattress that keeps cool all night. You'll get a $400 Tempur-Pedic for half the price. You're getting a $400,000 Tempur-Pedic for half the price. Dude, how much am I butchering this? Like Sattva, the Loom and Leaf offers delivery with courtesy installation and takeaway. They install your mattress in your room, take away the trash, and even take away your old bed if you want. You can try their 70-day trial hassle-free. You can follow the Loom and Leaf at Loom and Leaf on Twitter and Facebook to find out more and how to win a memory foam mattress at South by Southwest. Yes, check that out. 4 minutes into this thing. How we doing? Check that out. I need a new mattress because I don't get any of my mattress because I live with a woman and a dog. And the dog gets 2/3 mattress. The woman gets the other third. And I literally live on the far, far edge of this mattress. I live in the bad neighborhood of this mattress. It is just shady over here, crime-filled. And it's really bad because I have to learn, because all I do is try to masturbate and not wake up anybody else sleeping on this mattress. That is literally what's going on with everything. Fun, crazy week. Thank you guys for tuning in. Some corrections and retractions from the last Twisted. Apparently, it's not Ray Dong Chong. It's Ray Don Chong. Ray Don Chong. No one named their kid Ray Dong Chong. That would be stupid. So I owe Ray Don Chong a huge apology for thinking her name was some weird Chinese name. So my apologies, Ray Don Chong out there. And I owe, I owe Kendrick Lamar? Oh, I don't even remember who. Okay. We made some fuck-ups on the last podcast. So what I've done is brought my computer, and we're going to make sure we get everything right this time. All right, so happy to be back doing Twists I Missed, everybody. I hope you guys had a great couple weeks. We're back in it. Things are going great. If you listen to this and you're in Edmonton, Canada, I am going to be at the comic strip all next week, March 25th through the 29th. Come out, whole new hour of fucking power. I'm so excited out there. I want you guys to hear my new stuff. I've been working really hard on it. I'm getting ready to shoot an hour. My friend Tony Hinchcliffe's going to shoot his own hour. And he's going to try to sell. I'm like, that's brilliant. I'm going to shoot my own hour. I just got to find out where I want to do it. Where can I get the maximum rage? Where can I get the maximum rock? That's what I'm looking for. I got good hour. Good hour stories. Stories I can't tell forever. Fun stories. Stories from the road. Stories of debauchery. Stories of being unhuman. Stories of fighting for democracy in the face of hot lesbian terrorists. I'm going to tell that story up in Edmonton, see how it flies. It's weird because I want to tell my stories, but you have to make sure you don't alienate every woman in the crowd. Because if you start talking about your sexual conquerors, what's the word I'm looking for? Conquer? Conquest. There we go. Your sexual conquest. Girls get really weird. I don't know why. But they don't understand, like, all the weird shit I've done is with women. So, I mean, they're part of it, too. Don't act like I'm the scumbag. We're all in above it. So I'm going out there. A lot of fun. I'm glad I'm going out there right at the end of March before it starts really warming up. Because you don't want, like I said before, you don't want to fly in Edmonton during the summer because you're going to entertain 10 people. So I'm going out there. We just did a big naughty show. Naughty shows are starting to pick up. We got a naughty show I'm very excited to announce. We got a big naughty show March 27th, Long Beach at Harvell's. Two different shows. My good friend Gareth Reynolds is going to be hosting it, and we got a killer lineup. We got from the Crab Feast, Ryan Sickler, Ian Edwards, Paula Bell. That's a killer lineup, plus some of the hottest burlesque dancers in the country. And then we're doing a second show at 11 p.m. I got Billy Bunnell and my new favorite guy on the planet, George Perez. Have you ever met George Perez, Aaron? This guy is a shady motherfucker. I think he does a lot of fucking partying because he's missing teeth. He'll be like, yeah, I party a lot because I miss teeth, homie. And he's fucking funny, dude. So I got him. I might have one or two more. We'll see. Plus got all the hot dancers. These shows will sell out. So come to Long Beach. Enjoy the show. I'm super excited. That is March 27th. Come and hang out. And then I'm very excited. I can't quite announce now. Once paperwork's done, I'm doing something really exciting coming up that I'll probably tell you guys next week when I do the International Bad Boys Hour with my good friend Steve Randolph. But very excited about this announcement. It's right in my wheelhouse, MMA. So once we're signed, you can't talk about shit until it happens. That's what I've learned in this town. You can't talk about anything until the shit happens. I've gone around telling everybody everything, and then it doesn't happen, and I look like an asshole. So I got this benefit tomorrow night. I'm doing abolishslavery.org. It is this organization that tries to help stop sex slavery because it's a real thing. And it's horrible because I believe in filth by choice. I believe if you want some guys to go airtight on you, you should, it's by choice. You shouldn't have some weird Russian guy in the corner with a gun to your head telling you got to blow eight dudes. That's not, you got to want to blow those eight dudes. What happens is these Russian chicks, they go on Craigslist, they see need a maid or secretary. They're like, I'll do that. And then they show up and they get kidnapped. And next thing you know, they're in sex slavery and it's not cool. So, you know, I've never gotten a hooker. I've been robbed by hookers, though. I've told a story where I was trying to buy drugs back in my drug abuse days, and I got robbed by the same hooker twice in one day. Because I tried to find a little humanity in this lady, if it even was a lady. I gotta be honest with you. It might have been a transsexual. Because at that point, when you're looking for drugs, you don't give a shit what's between their legs. You just want to get your coke and go the fuck home. So I pick her up, and here's what I've learned. I've talked about this before, but I've learned that if they grab their purse, they're not coming back. But I just want to believe in humanity. You know, you got to make it worth them. So let's say you want $40 in drugs, and you want to give them $30 just to help them. You got to make it worth their mile. You'd be like $40 drugs, $20 for them. You got to make it worth a while. So I go, $40, $30, $70. That's a lot of money. She goes, okay, baby, I'll be right back. She grabs her purse. I literally wait there for fucking an hour in my car. Nobody shows up. And I'm like, ah, and I'm driving around, gaga. I'm so angry, right? Because I just got fucking robbed. I'm trying to help this lady. You know? I'm telling you, hookers, they need a, I wonder if they have a Yelp for hookers. Be like, you know, Shanae jacked my cash. 1 star. How would you feel if your life you were a 1-star hooker? That'd really suck, right? We got to start doing that. There's got to be ways to, you know, if you're dealing in some unlawful shit, there's got to be a way for you to cover your losses, right? I wish drug dealers had Yelp. I can't tell you back when I used to do drugs, which I don't anymore. I'm sober, thank to the Lord. Jesus! Thank you, Jesus. I'm sober, but back in my partying days, God knows how many times I bought cocaine and it was just fucking like Arm & Hammer. I'm just doing baby soda, baking soda, just doing gackers of it. We used to call it drywall. We used to have this guy named, his first name's Travis. I won't say it, but you call him when you were totally out. You're like, oh, let's call Travis. I know he's going to give us drywall, but at least it's something. I'd like to give Travis 1 star for being a shitty drug dealer. Right? And then your friends could, then somebody could look up, hey, I want to buy drugs from Travis. Oh, his coke is like drywall. No, thank you. I'll keep my mind to myself. That way we can get better drugs out there. Right? Where's that going on this? Oh, so that's the big show I'm doing. So I'm starting to do some naughty shows. We just did the Ventura Harbor Festival. And here's the thing. If you ever come see me live, just watch for me before the show, because I'll be doing laps around the room thinking nobody's going to show up. I am the worst at that. I'm sure nobody's going to show up. It always sells out and it always packs out. I have to start realizing that. I'm really beat myself up pretty bad. But I have to start realizing people are actually going to come to the show. So, but the problem is a triply crowd, which is a combination of partiers, people who like porn, people who like dick jokes, you know, they're not known for being on time. You know, they run on armo time. Insert your person, armo time, porn time, black time, whatever that is. It's always 30 minutes late. If you come to see me, try to be on time because you're going to ruin my heart. I'm going to have a heart attack before the show even starts, wondering if anyone's going to come see me. I need you guys to show up. So about, I mean, I'm doing laps around this Ventura Harbor Festival Comedy Club. Boom, laps, laps. And then out of nowhere, the place is packed. There's a line around the thing, and we go. I like to I host naughty shows because I just like to get the party started. And I walk up, and I drop a joke, and the place explodes. Now I'm like, how far can I push with these guys? And I just started doing the filthiest material I can. And I could not. We were doing a game of dick joke chicken. And that crowd won. They showed me that there's never too much for Ventura. By the way, the average guy in Ventura looks like, there's a certain look that Northern California has. And that's, I always look like I'm about to ride moto. I love the UFC. I have that weird Hacksaw Jim Duggan beard, which is the long Fu Manchu. I have million barbed wire tattoos. I look like I've been in the sun forever. My girlfriend looks like she loves meth. And that's people who love the Naughty Show. And they come in droves and they party like motherfuckers. I think everyone's doing cocaine because I've never seen so many In-N-Out people in my life. If you go to the bathroom more than 4 times... you got to get your prostate looked at, right? It's either that or you're doing gackers of cocaine. Now, when I was in Vancouver, they didn't even go to the bathroom. They're like, fuck it. I don't want to miss the show. They start doing coke right on the tables. Right? That's just crazy. Who needs to get gacked out of their mind watching the guy do stand just grinding your teeth? You know how in old rock shows they used to take lighters and they put it up when it's a ballad? In Vancouver, when they're listening to comedy, you know it's going well because you just see sparks flying out of people's mouths from all the grinding. So we did a show. It was great. We're going to be back, hopefully. We'll see what happens. But my favorite thing is that when I do a show, it's amazing. There are some people who just hate dick jokes, and you can just tell, and they get so angry. And one thing I like to do after the show is thank everybody who's come to the show, especially people who had a horrible time. There's something just about me just that I love just sitting there in front of people going, thank you for coming. And I make eye contact. This gorgeous Mexican would not make eye contact with me. Because she obviously liked bad Latino comedy, which is like everything you see on Telemundo, which is like hot chicks dancing with fat guys dressed like animals. That seems to be the big Latino comedy thing. But she wouldn't even make eye contact. She's yelling at Gareth, who is the Gareth Reynolds, who is the funniest guy I know, gets applause back. She's like, you are not funny. I did not laugh one time. I'm like, why do I have a feeling that you like comedy garbage? You know what I'm saying? And the problem with comedy clubs is like, listen, she's one who will fill out a comedy club. The people who love it are leaving high-fiving everybody, talking about what a great guy. They're not talking to management. How many times have you been at a restaurant, been pissed off, I had a great time, ate great food, and go, I want to talk to your manager right now. Get over here. Hey, I just want to tell you what an awesome service this place was, how great the food was. I love, nobody does that. You tip well and you go home. When you're happy, you just leave. It's the losers who have nothing going on in their life who have to talk to management and fill out comment cards. Comment cards are the dumbest shit ever. Go home and blog if you want to write something. Stop being an asshole. I like to talk to the manager. Guess what? Nobody wants you to talk to the manager. And let's say you do a show and there's 300 people at the comedy show, right? 300 people. And 10 people don't like the show. Some comedy clubs be like, it's the worst show ever. 10 people. You had 290 people like your show. And 10 didn't like it? Who gives a fuck? Go, here's some free tickets to whatever paint drying comic you want to watch. We like to watch paint dry. And that makes us happy. You're pissing me off. One thing that I got to do this weekend was work with Ari Shaffir. I got to, he let me do a guest spot in his weekend at Brea. And I never got to watch my friends work an hour. A couple people here, I got to see Rogan work an hour. I got to see Maz Gibrani work an hour. But I've never seen a lot of my friends that I kind of came up with do an hour. I'd like to see Sebastian Maniscalco. He's my old buddy from back there. I'd like to see him work an hour. I ain't going to pay the $50 ticket that you have to go to. That motherfucker better put me on a guest list. Dude, I knew you back when you used to crease your fucking shorts, bro. I'm not paying to come see you, dude. I used to drive you to gigs. Oh, you put me on the fucking guest list. Not that he put me on a guest list. I like to see him. I like to see Steve Renazzisi. I mean, that guy's a full-out monster. I haven't seen that guy perform in years. He's one of my favorite people on the planet. I would love to see him live. Just see how they work, man. But it was so much fun to watch Ari Shaffir work because I love the guy to death. We kind of started out together. I got picked up a little quicker than he did at the Comedy Store, but he was always around, and it's just fun to watch him grow as a comedian. And I'm going to say something to you. I've learned more from watching Ari Shaffir, and Ari Shaffir's had more influence on my comedy than any other comedian I know. I've learned more. Like, the storytelling right now, I just watch Ari going, hey, man, people like stories. I got crazy stories. Let me see if I can do that. And I start working that muscle. And then Ari has a really good style where he'll drop a punchline in his act, and then he'll explore the punchline. And I'm going to start doing that now, too, just because it helps you expand your material. But this guy, he's so good at exploring every topic so much. And it was a lot of fun. So we went up there. I got the gig for free. He offered to give me money. I did a show. How they keep it? I don't want your fucking money, dude. What am I, a scumbag? I'm a grown-ass dude. I don't need your cash. I mean, I do, but I don't need it. Keep it. I'm a nice guy. Thanks for the time. I did about 15, 16 minutes. Had a lot of fun. Ari killed. Fun watching him work new material. You know, the crowd was really... So funny about watching comedians, you could tell when they got a bit that they love and it's going really well because they deliver it like they're God, like it's like fire, brimstone, you know? Oh, this is the bit. And the crowd reacts. And then you could tell when they're working a new bit because they start getting what I call Bambi legs. You can just see they're shaking like, oh, I hope you like this. And the crowd completely senses it. It's all mental. Liza Schlesinger once laughed at me when I said that stand-up comedy is Jedi mind tricks. And it's fucking true, man. God, I gotta stop swearing. I think I swear too much. It's the F word's weird with me, man. Because everyone else can say the F word and it's like, oh, it's so cute. I say the F word. It's like, why? They're the children. My God! Do you have to register at the sheriff's office, you sex offender? There's just something about my F words that make that violate. You know what I'm saying? You just want to shower after you talk to me. You're like, oh, Triple E dropped like 14 F-bombs. I have to go home and wipe all the man sauce he just dropped on me. It's just really rude. I don't know what it is. So anyways, I got to go work with Ari. What was I talking about? But anyways, so I got to watch him work. It was fun to watch him work. New material. I'm excited to see where the jokes were, where they're going. I really love, on the drive home, we just were talking about comedy. And I go, you know, man, it is what it is. Because I used to have a TV show. I got a TV show before almost all my friends got a TV show. I was doing stand-up on TV before everyone started doing stand-up on TV. My problem is I started partying too much. I was really getting into cocaine and numb fucking, you know, I was good at it. But it just, you can't do that. It's just bad for your health. First of all, my heart's going to fucking explode. And second of all, you can't pay your bills off of numb fucking. You just can't. I wish I could. I tried. I wish I could pay an 8 balls of numb fucking coke course. I wish that could be how many coke course, sir, to pay my rent? I need 4 coke course. Like, that's cool. But it just doesn't work like that. So we're talking. He goes, yeah, you've totally changed. He goes, you used to try to bury people. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, you used to bury people. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was a real knucklehead. I was a fire starter. I just love to go up there and rock rooms. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm in the history of my comedy, and I've buried a lot of people. And now I've only tried to bury one person, and it was a really dumb thing I did. And I'll tell you, it was Jim Jeffries. And I regret it because I think Jim Jeffries is one of the funniest guys on the planet. And this was many moons ago. I would never try to do anything like that again. I was really young and stupid. It was me and Daryl Wright because Jim Jeffries just come in town. Everyone's like, Jim Jeffries is the shit. I'm like, what? He's coming into our turf? Fucking our women? Drinking our beer? Really? Oh, he thinks he's a badass. So me and Daryl went up and flamethrowed the room. And Jim went up and did fucking great. But that's literally the only time I ever thought I'm going to try to bury somebody. I've never, ever, ever tried to. I never thought, hey, man, let's go up and put this guy deep. That's never been it. I have buried people. It has hurt my career. I'm not going to say names, but there's some people who I fucking put deep. And I didn't try to do it. I just was going on stage trying to be the best I can. Barry's like, yeah, you used to try to bury people. I'm like, Ari, you're fucking crazy. I never did that. So we drive home. We get there, and Ari gets out of my car, and I go, hey, Ari, this is the funniest thing. I go, Ari, I just wanted to tell you that I just want to say that I love you very much, and I'm so happy for your success, and you've been a humongous influence on me. I've learned a lot from watching you over the years, and I really appreciate you letting me do a spot in your show, and I just want to tell you that I really love you. And he stared at me, and he just stared at me and goes, I don't know how to react to this. I don't know what to say. And we literally stared at each other for 30 seconds. Just two, like, androids, like, staring at each other. And after a while, I'm going, dude, go! Get in your car! Stop making this so fucking awkward! I'm just trying to have a nice moment with you. And now you just made it uncomfortable. I guess he just, I don't know, man. Maybe he just thought that was weird. I don't know, maybe. But it was just such a funny thing, just the guy trying to emote how much he appreciates his friend and his friend going, dude, that's uncomfortable. He's acting like I touched him in his fucking diddle spots. So it's fun to go out there and see that, man. We don't have I'm not going to do a full show today, guys. I'm really sorry because I have to be in Ontario, so I can't be here all day. So I'm going to do about 20 more minutes. Is that cool? We'll get out. 20, get in, get out. We'll do about 45 minutes, not a full hour. What do I want to get into? I have a whole bunch of shit. I'll talk comedy next time. The NCAA tournament coming up. You excited? You don't give a shit? You don't care that Kentucky might go undefeated? I got a lot riding on that. I have a lot. A fart funnel. And Ari's like, yeah, man, we'll tape it to your ass. And you got to hit it like a ball. Oh. Oh. I'm going to throw up at the thought of sucking in Jew-ass clouds. Ugh. Do ass clouds. Just ass clouds. Ass farts. Ugh. Why'd I agree to that? God. I wish I could have that back. But yeah, I still think they're going to go undefeated. I really do. I think they're going to be really, really, I think they're going to go undefeated. I think Ari's going to be, and dude, I'm lactose intolerant. I'm going to be drinking milk, eating pudding. I'm going to load up this cannon with ass magic. I mean, dude, really badass magic. Because I think I'm dying because I'm getting old. You know you're getting old when you start farting like your father? You ever had that when you were a kid, you were hanging out, and your dad would rip run, and you're like, God, what just, did an elephant just crawl out of your ass? You ever hear your dad? It was like, oh, my dad used to be so bad. And my dad would, we only had one shower in my room as a kid, and my dad would run into the, before school, I would always shower before school. My dad would run into the bathroom, drop a hard deuce, and I would have to shower with that smell of deuce in there. It was so bad. I would, like, I'd want to shower with a hazmat suit on. It was really uncomfortable. And he always had to beat me to, oh, it's like, oh, just let me do it real quick. No, man, wait till I'm done showering. But nope, he paid the bills. It's his house. You don't like it? Give me your own place. I'm like, I'm 12. How am I giving him my own place at 12? My dad would, I'm surprised he's still alive. Thank God he is. But God, the asshole that guy would fucking crush. And he would just fart. And then one day I remember I just farted. I'm like, oh, that is a smell of death right there. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm growing old. So Ari doesn't understand. Because Ari eats healthy. Have you ever seen Ari? Ari eats he's salads. He's pretty thin for his age. Not me, dude. I am a dumpster. I am just a dumpster of garbage, and it is going to be ugly, and I'm going to light it up. Are you lactose intolerant? No, you're not. At some point, you're like, oh, my body just is giving up. I can't drink milk anymore. Dairy, I can't do dairy without my asshole starting to sound like an 18-wheeler honking. That's my asshole. So these big thing on the NCAA tournament's coming up. And of course, a lot of you guys who listen to this probably watch John Oliver's This Week Tonight. Had a huge thing about the NCAA tournament. And it really is ridiculous that these guys don't get paid. It really is. It's unbelievable. With the amount of revenue it generates, there was a time it wasn't generating revenue. That's why it was put on, to give these athletes a chance to compete, play sports, represent their school. That day is no longer. Do you see that it's set that the NCAA tournament makes more than the Super Bowl and almost more than the NFL playoffs? And they don't pay anybody? And they just make to be a nonprofit, they have to have expenses. And they just start making up expenses. Why not just pay these players? Well, who are you going to pay? Who are you going to do that? Well, it's simple, dude. I mean, it isn't that simple, actually. You think women are upset about equal pay for equal work. Try in the college atmosphere, which is the most idealistic of all the atmospheres, to pay basketball players and not pay softball players. Try doing that. Good luck with that. It doesn't matter. I mean, just the truth of the matter is none of it. It won't matter if you tell them these guys generate sport money. These guys don't. They're not going to care. They don't care. It does not matter. Women don't give a shit about that. Women don't care about crunching numbers. That's why I'm for equal pay for equal work. But it's got to be equal work, man. And it tends not to be. And women don't want to hear that. But it tends not to be. If you're putting in the same amount of hours as men, you should get the exact same amount of money. But they've done studies that it's not the same. Times got to change, man. College has gotten crazy. I would love to be in college right now. How easy it would be to get laid. It must be crazy, right? Did you see this SAE fraternity thing? That's just crazy. Let me see if I can find this fucking thing. SAE fraternity. I'm sure I spelled fraternity wrong. Help me out, Google, you motherfucker. Oh yeah, if you guys saw, I spelled it like fart, farting in tea. For, okay, here we go. SAE fraternity videos. It's just listening to these kids. It's just, you're grown. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? You're not, see, you're 20. You're 20. Let's see if we can find it. You're 18 years old. You're 19 years old. Everything you believe in, you know, you grew up with proof that everybody should intermingle. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you grew up knowing that black people and white people are pretty much the same people. Your grandparents, if your grandma's like, oh, you still dating that colored boy, it is what it is, because that's where she came from. But it's like, you grew up knowing that shit isn't right. Oh my God. That's so crazy, right? It's just unbelievable. And the one guy's like leading the chant. Do you see that? That guy's done. Not really. He'll get hired by some fucking Republican. You know? There's just some people who are just truly racist. It's so unbelievable that you could be really racist in this day and age when there's proof. Like, I don't like conservatives. I'm liberal. I don't like progressives, and I really don't like conservatives, because I think conservatives are selfish. They just want stuff for themselves. They want to fuck you, and they want stuff for themselves. They want to keep all their money. That's why they don't want taxes. And the social conservative, they just don't want you to do it. Because what we always find over time is that they're doing what they try to outlaw. Right? If they're trying to make drug abuse harsher penalties, they're drug addicts. They want to pound on gay people. They're homos. That didn't come out. They're homosexuals. Right? The more you hate gay people, the more you want to love gay people. It's just the truth. Why do you give a shit? Whatever you believe in, whatever weird shit you believe in, there is somewhere in this world where people do that and nothing's happening. God isn't sending down flaming balls of fire. The earth isn't opening up and everyone's falling into hell. It's all bullshit. You remember when people used to believe races shouldn't interact? And then what do we get? Blake Griffin, who can dunk from half court? If I could get a black chick to have a baby with me, I'd do it. I want good-looking kids who can get a D1 scholarship. I need that. College is getting more and more expensive. I need my kid to get a scholarship. D1, bitches. Yeah, so any black chicks out there who are sexy, you gotta be hot. Nah. Actually, I want my kid to be a really good athlete, so I want her to be not hot. The hotter the chick, the less athletic the kid is. The uglier the chick, the more they can ball. So, Precious, if you're listening, I got fucking 6 inches of angry dick that I'm going to drop on you, because I want to have a D1 kid, man. Right? Am I wrong? Does anyone know what the fuck I'm talking about? Dropping dick on Precious, letting her know shit is going good. Did you watch the Jinx? How good is the Jinx? Jinx, man. Listen, man. Here's what I believe in, right? Here's what I believe in the most. I believe that we are all interconnected. That everything that, let me find this real quick. Here's what I believe in. I want this to play real quick. Here we go.
What is the most astounding fact you can share with us about the universe?
The most astounding fact.
The most astounding fact.
Is the knowledge that the atoms that comprise life on Earth, the atoms that make up the human body, are traceable to the crucibles that cooked light elements into heavy elements in their core under extreme temperatures and pressures. These stars, the high mass ones among them, went unstable in their later years. They collapsed and then exploded, scattering their enriched guts across the galaxy. Guts made of carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and all the fundamental ingredients of life itself. These ingredients become part of gas clouds that condense, collapse, form the next generation of solar systems, stars with orbiting planets. And those planets now have the ingredients for life itself. So that when I look up at the night sky, and I know that, yes, we are part of this universe, we are in this universe, but perhaps more important than both of those facts is that the universe is in us. When I reflect on that fact, I look up. Many people feel small because they're small and the universe is big, but I feel big because my atoms came from those stars. There's a level of connectivity. That's really what you want in life. You want to feel connected. You want to feel relevant. You want to feel like you're a participant in the goings-on of activities and events around you. That's precisely what we are, just by being alive.
Yeah, dude, Neil deGrasse Tyson is a bad man, right? That's pretty, that's what I believe in. That's my God. That's my higher power. I'm in sobriety. That's what I believe in. That everybody's connected, man. And, you know, that's why I treat everybody nice. I had this guy come up to me at the Comedy Store the other day. He goes, Sam Triple. I go, what? How are you? He goes, why do you treat me so nice? I go, why wouldn't I treat you so nice? Because this is Los Angeles and you don't have to. I go, well, I understand that. And the truth of the matter is when I moved to Los Angeles, I saw how people treated everybody and that sometimes in this town, your value is based upon your TV credits and your movie credits. And that, my friend, is not life. Everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has feelings. Everybody has something to contribute. And yeah, sometimes there are some crazy motherfuckers out there, you know? And you give people a chance, and if they burn the bridge, then you just move on. You don't take anything personal. But at the end of the day, man, I like to treat people nice. And the truth of the matter is, I'm more comfortable around drug addicts, alcoholics, and just people trying to find their way. I just am, dude. That's why I'm going to therapy now. Aaron, you ever done therapy? Oh, man, it is great. In Los Angeles, it's so great to do therapy. Because when you talk to people in LA about your problems, instantly they start talking about their problems. You're like, whoa, this is about me, man. I want to talk about me. And it's just, people just want to be able to be like, what's going on in my life? Does this make sense? Because this town is just runs on nonsense. And it doesn't make sense. And it can drive you crazy. That's this fucking town. Like this town, right now the comedy scene in Los Angeles is batshit crazy. Dude, I just got to tell you something. Is anybody who runs a comedy club out here, and then I'll wrap it up. We got about 5 more minutes and we'll wrap it up. Can we please stop giving away tickets and saying, come to a free comedy show? Now, if you're an open mic show, I understand that. Hey, man, here's free tickets to this show. But I've seen comedy clubs giving out free tickets to amazing shows that have like Anthony Jeselnik, Dion Cole, you know? John Caparillo, Sebastian Maniscalco, Chris D'Elia, Sam Tripoli. You know, but you're giving out these tickets and you're saying free tickets. Who's going to buy tickets, man? If you're giving away the tickets for free, who's going to buy the tickets? And people, if you're listening to this show, and there's only a couple thousand of you that do it, and I'm very thankful for you, because when I blow up, you're going to be part of the hidden tribe of motherfuckers who got it first, okay? But the truth of the matter is, if you're going to watch a comic, buy a ticket, man. It just helps. I get it, man. Times are tough, dude. Times are tough, okay? And you want to go. But when you go to a comedy club and you don't buy a ticket to the show, you're not supporting the comic. Because when you go there, you got to buy two drinks. You're only supporting the club. And God bless the club for having you out. This isn't against the club because they're just trying to fill the room. But you got to buy tickets because right now everybody's burning CDs, so you're not buying the CDs. So now I make my money out the door. Now you just get free. How do I make a dollar? How am I supposed to make a living doing what I like? Because you know what? If I don't, I'm going to have to go drive taxis. And I'm not going to give a shit about comedy. And therefore, the only people you're going to be able to see are these huge fucking pop stars of comedy who aren't doing anything great. And if you like me and you like your comedy dirty, you like to take your fucking chances, and you like it edgy, you like it dark, you like it real, you got to start supporting these people. The big name guys, I get it. You want to go see them because you know what where comedy is right now? It's about seeing famous people. And you know what, man? That's great. I get it. You want to say you got to see Steve-O. And I totally love Steve-O. He's a great guy, and I get why you want to see him. But if you're going to go see a comic, buy a ticket, man. It helps his cause. Because it helps him pay his bills, man. These comedy clubs, some of these guys don't want to fly comics out anymore. They got to pay for themselves. So they're barely covering the cost of their flights. Nobody's buying CDs anymore because nobody uses CDs anymore. How are these artists supposed to make a dollar? That's why nobody's doing music anymore. It's like you're trying to save a dollar, but in the long run, you're fucking the people you love. The artists who entertain you, take you out of your head, who give you a break from the constant grind of your life by making you laugh and making you dance, by making you do all that. You gotta support these people. And when you just jack their CDs and when you just don't pay to come see them perform, it's really ruining the process. And these comedy clubs, it's like, man, charge something. You got to train your customers to pay for the services. You got to do that. Because if I give you two free tickets and you're going to go see Whitney Cummings, you're going to go see Chris D'Elia and Joe Rogan's on, why are you going to buy a ticket another time? You're like, I saw all these people for free. Why am I going to buy a ticket? Because you got to support the entertainers, man. I don't know. TMZ ruined entertainment by making people think entertainers are piñatas. We're artists, man. We have a drive. People don't understand how much you risk by moving to L.A. and trying to make it. People make fun of fucking L.A. people as being phony, but there's some legit artists out here are trying to make a living off of something they're good at because a lot of us aren't good at anything. I'm not good at anything except for doing comedy, telling jokes. I got fired 11 times from my real jobs. 11 times. I just can't. I'm not good. You got to buy a ticket. It helps out, man. If you like the guy, buy a ticket, man. Or if you get a free ticket, buy a CD when you're there. Help him out, man. Because guess what? He's not going to be able to come back around. And he's not going to be able to grow as a comedian. So that's it, man. I don't know how funny it was, man. I just wanted to get in here because I hadn't talked in a while. Well, a lot of great shit going on. I really love you guys. I'm sorry there was a lot of advertisement in the show. I All Things Comedy has been nice enough to bust their ass to get us some sponsors to help us make some money. So I have no problem with opening a show with a little reading. And then my dates. I hope you guys can come see me in Edmonton. Or you can come see me at the Laughing Skull in... Where am I going to be? Atlanta. The Laughing Skull in Atlanta, the 9th through the 12th. Coming out, and I got a big, 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 big announcement coming up. But I was driving last night back from Long Beach, and we're going to end it here. I was driving back from Long Beach with my good friend Skippy Simon, and we started talking about a movie called Judgment Night. Do you ever remember a movie called Judgment Night? Okay, it's probably too young for you. Judgment Night, I think, Judgment Night movie, I think it had Emilio Estevez in it, I think. Remember when Emilio Estevez was something? Okay, this is great. According to Wikipedia, it is a 1993 action thriller film directed by Stephen Hawking, starring Emilio Estevez, Cuba Gooding Jr., Jeremy Piven, and Steven Dorfman. Wow. That's how long those guys have been in the game, huh? And the premise is, the plot is basically these guys set out to go see a boxing match in Chicago. Anyways, it's an action thriller. It's funny. But even better than the movie is the soundtrack for this movie. They were the first ones to combine hip hop and metal. And the people on this is amazed. House of Pain with Helmet. Who else? Faith. This is the one I'm going to play. Where is it? Pearl Jam and Cypress Hill. This is back in 93. This was before, you know, Limp Bizkit and all that stuff and Rage Against the Machine, all that stuff. So we're going to go on one of my favorite songs. If you guys ever get a chance, you youngsters, go out and on Spotify or whatever and listen to the Judgment Night soundtrack. It's great. My favorite song on there is Faith No More with Booyah Tribe. It's called Another Body Murdered. We're going to go out to this. I love you guys very much. I know the show was all over the place. I appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate Aaron for sitting here. I know you've had a long day. So here we go. A little Judgment Night. And guys, I'll see you next week. Rate, review. If you like it, let me know. If you hate it, let me know. If you can go on iTunes and leave me any kind of rate and review, I would really appreciate. If not, I will see you guys on the other side. I love you guys. This is Twisted with Sam Tripoli on All Things Comedy. Another body murder.